Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I am on Zoom with Noel David Taylor. Hey, Noel.
Hello.
We just had a nice long talk about Noel and his work. He was the filmmaker. I'll just call you filmmaker because you pretty much wore every hat on the film for Man Under Table or I'm Writing a Movie. It's a kick-ass film. You got to see Man Under Table. In the show notes, you can find links to it. But I will add that you can see it on Amazon Prime Video, or you can go to his distributor. It's Arrow, ARROW-player.com, and search for Man Under Table and watch his damn movie. I freaking love it. If you don't like it, I got a great suggestion for you. If you don't like Man Under Table, go on Instagram and chat with me because I will convince you otherwise. So anyway.
Oh, I was going to say, can I send you some other things I might need defending on too?
Absolutely. Why not? That's one of my things, actually. One of the reasons. So this podcast, we're not even going to talk about Man Under Table. Noel's going to answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are three favorite movies, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. And one of the reasons I love these questions is like, I actually just had somebody like, name is there overrated a film that I love? And I'm like, I love differences of opinion. I actually think that's what art is for. So I am not exactly a consensus seeker, although I just demanded that everyone enjoy your film.
Well, thank you.
I'm just going to try to shut up and let you go. Do you want to answer? You want to name three films that you consider a favorite?
This is obviously so hard of a question to ask anybody who even likes films, let alone makes films. But I think the first thing that pops to mind, one of my favorite filmmakers is a more recent one, Roy Anderson, who is, I believe, Swedish. My favorite film of his is You the Living. But he has, I think he has maybe five films to date. And they're all incredible. Just a master of imagery and just a very almost like Kafka-esque ennui, unbelievable movies. So yeah, check out anything by him, honestly. From there, I think the second thing that sort of popped immediately into my mind was when I was a kid, I watched a lot of classic films, and that sort of got me onto my road to liking movies. And M by Fritz Lang is one that is pretty emblazoned in my mind as gripping me into the unrelenting talons of wanting to make film. Incredible movie. Obviously, Fritz Lang, another master who made a lot of amazing films. I think he did Scarlet Street too, which is another really good film. If that's not him, I'm sorry, and that's also a good film. But yes, that movie's amazing. And then I wanted to soften the load a little bit, and I was thinking of I don't want to use the word guilty pleasure because I think there's no such thing, right? But I just want to drop, when I was a kid, one of my favorite movies was The Burbs with Tom Hanks.
The Burbs.
It's a comedy. Yeah. It's a very, very silly, formulaic comedy shot in Universal Studios. But it's just a really, I think, there's a part of my DNA that's ingrained with that movie because I've probably seen it 3,000 times. I think it's honestly a good movie to look at for like structure though. If you were just like, how do I write? Like where are the acts? You know, what do I need to do? It's all there. It's a very silly movie, but it's really fun.
A lot of those silly, silly comedies from the 80s actually, had solid story structure and they might've been made by a film factory that was impersonal, but the writers, I feel like people managed to squeeze some cool stuff in there. I have to share that for those who, unlike Noel, aren't looking at me on Zoom, I was nodding my head hugely to M. Is a remarkable film. and probably from early 1930s, right? It was.
Yeah, I think 31.
Yeah, it was essentially, and my God, that's actually a film that my friends and I went to see when we were in high school in like the mid 80s. We, you know, went to like American Cinematheque and watched a screening of M because like one of our teachers told us to. Oh my God, that film has not aged one day. It's so nope. Current.
It's so modern. It's yeah. It's like a dream you had that you're remembering when you watch it.
And Peter Lorre acting in German is one of the most amazing actors you've ever seen. Cause you grow up on him in American films when he came here and he just played little stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch him over there and he gives the most amazing performance I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
He was a great dramatic actor. Yeah. I mean, obviously like Arsenic and Old Lace and you know, these films, they're amazing too, but he was a great dramatic actor. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, good list. Good list. And thank you for You the Living, because I haven't seen it. So I'm going to jump on that. And
please let me know what you think, because I think
question two is underrated.
You know, I had a hard time with this one because it's the concept of being underrated is it's kind of rough, because if you've seen it and I say the name of it, it's probably gotten enough attention or, you know, is out there. And I don't know, the concept is a tough one for me to sit with, but I will, at risk of hating myself later, mention a Spielberg movie here. Munich, I really think is a good Spielberg movie that is underrated, that I really enjoyed. Is it?
You know, I think you and I are going to get along. I piss off Spielberg fans all the time because I argue that Munich is by far his best film.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's really masterful. There's really not an element to it that isn't kind of, you know, at least a 9 on that scale of mastery.
Right. And all the shit he does in his other films that annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
He dials back all the over the topness that turns me off of his other films.
I think maybe just like some kind of element of tapping into the cinema movement of the time that the movie takes place that he's trying to emulate that really, yeah, tones down his annoying stuff and creates something really not hokey, but, you know, stunning. Yeah.
Yeah. Stunning and immediate and compelling. And, yeah. I also piss off Spielberg fans by saying his other best film is Ready Player One. But anyway, because everyone wants you to love Close Encounters or Jaws or E.T. And I'm like, no, those all suck. His best film's Munich.
The one that just references other movies and like is just kind of a seizure on screen.
Oh, my God. It's just ridiculous. But I won't bother on my Spielberg soapbox.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. That was a good pick. Yeah, because that's... Anyway.
It's hard to be like underrated Spielberg, but, you know, yeah.
I think people, yeah, not that many people pay attention to Munich.
Yeah.
I would love for your overrated to be Schindler's List, but it probably won't be. What's your overrated?
Overrated. I also had a hard time with this one. Just, I know I'm going to really upset a lot of people here, but a movie that I've tried to like so many times is, Lost in Translation, Bill Murray, the Sofia Coppola film. I've never been able to enjoy this movie on really any level other than like physically, and that Bill Murray is in it. Yeah.
I mean, you've got my support. I think it's, look, if it had come and gone and been like a cute little indie where Bill Murray improv'd and Scarlett Johansson sort of acted like, you know, a sad, ignored wife, it'd be a nice little indie. But it got...
I agree.
got huge fanfare and a lot of respect. I believe she won best screenplay for a film that was not written.
Yeah, I think it was like a 5-page like type up thing was the script. Yeah. I wish I could win an Oscar for 5 pages of notes.
Yeah. 5 pages of like, you know, she hangs out and then she meets an actor and you know, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
I know it's nice. It's nice. I mean, that is something that you threw in your film with the heiress to, you know, the Hollywood royal, you know, people who are born into it is, I'm not sure she would have gotten that film off the ground if her last name wasn't Coppola, but.
No, I doubt it. It's hard to not, you know, have a certain disdain for Silver Spoon film people, but, you know, try not to, but I think, yeah. And again, it's not a terrible film. It's just overrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If it didn't, yeah. A lot of people hold it very high esteem. If everyone hated it, yeah. I might be defending it. So fair enough.
Totally. Absolutely. And if it was just like a little thing I saw at a festival by a nobody, I'd probably be like, that was a great movie. You should watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Although it is, talk about a cheat. I mean, boy, Bill Murray has become a complicated topic apparently, but
that's true. Yeah.
But,
and you know, I bet if you rewatched that movie in question, there's probably, even just thinking about it, I think there's probably some problematic stuff going on there. Just with, I can't say specifically what, but I bet you there's some issues there.
I think
I don't know. Don't quote me. And,
it's not for you and I as two white males to discuss, how difficult it is to hold. We have standards today that are very good to have that we didn't have 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But to say to somebody, absolutely, because of the way you acted 30 years ago is inappropriate now, you right. should fuck off and die in a hole. I'm like, well, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure, you know, I always joke that it comes down to Picasso for me. And I know Picasso was a horrible son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But if you ask me to stop liking Picasso's art because he was a horrible human being, I'm like, I can separate the person from the art.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely impossible not to look at a piece of art you like and go, I like, devoid of any, the things don't live in a vacuum, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we got one more, which is a lesser known film for people to seek out.
Okay. I think this is another one that, like, I feel like I could name 100 things, but I was thinking kind of in line with, you know, the movie we were talking about that I made, and one of the movies that I love movies about movie making, and especially when they're satirical and, you know, highlight how horrid it is. There's a David Duchovny movie from the early 2000s called The TV Set. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but
that's, I really enjoyed that. Was a Kasdan movie, Jake Kasdan, the son.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really fun.
And I feel like it was made in a weird, nebulous era of like, where do we put movies? And so it might've been like a made for TV movie or like a HBO movie or something weird. But, so it's like, it's pretty low budget feeling. But it's a really funny and fun, sort of like, you know, a more serious Bowfinger or a less serious, Living in Oblivion, you know, type of movie about movie making. Yeah. It's fun.
It is fun. I remember liking it. And I think, oh my gosh, as I recall, he'd worked on a TV series that didn't make it that I thought was really good. That was a wonderful spoof of 90210. And I think that's what inspired it. But yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really? That's a cool film. Oh, I want to see that.
By the way, yeah, I know. I wish. Oh, I think it was called Gross Point. And unfortunately, the John Cusack film Gross Point Blank came out around the same time and made everyone ignore Gross Point. But Gross Point was hilarious. And I think Kazan.
Oh, I'm gonna check it out.
By the way, you threw in Bowfinger, which I gotta say, Bowfinger, I think, is kind of perfect.
That movie's great. It's a fabulous movie. There's something when there's just something really specifically for me. I don't know how everybody feels about it, but when you can, when you tap into the you know, despicable, despisable arena of filmmaking, that, you know, it births something really fun. And I don't know, the movies that pinpoint the specific horrors of it are just a joy for me. I there's nothing better than that.
And I mean, I worship Steve Martin for most of my life, starting as a kid, listening to his albums. And I got to say, watching him in Bowfinger rip on everything from studio heads to Scientology to, I believe, well, I won't bother talking about the actress he was making fun of, who went from person to person to person, depending on who could help her career. But I mean, Bowfinger, yeah. And then Eddie Murphy is just a freaking sensation in that movie.
They're perfect. That, what a gift that movie is. We get to see them together doing something funny.
The two of them together were so great. And then the two characters that he played, the two brothers he played, were when the, here we are just praising Bowfinger, and it wasn't even on your list, but
let's just do a podcast about that.
Right. When movie star Eddie, hops in that car and they're playing this stunt on him and he buys into it and he's like, then we must go. Oh, it kills me. That's kills amazing. Me every time. if only Steve would write more, but my understanding is he's done.
Yeah, I get it, but oof, bummer. I really enjoyed that show he just made. It was fun.
Oh, the Only Murders?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't watched the second season yet, but yeah, it's
fun. Yeah, I mean, just getting to watch the two of them again, Short and him, great.
Oh my God, yeah.
What else do you want?
I gotta admit, like, I think after every episode of that, I turn to my wife afterwards. I'm like, it's like watching Michael Jordan play basketball, like watching exactly. Those two play off each other. We're just watching the best people in the world do what they do best. It's just crazy.
It's so easy to think like, oh, it was an era and like that was funny at the time. And they probably wouldn't hold up and just absolutely funnier than ever. Like their timing and physicality. So on point, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. All right. Well, TV set is one that people should look up. Not Bowfinger. Although, yeah, Bowfinger. I got it. Wow.
Yeah, check it out.
You brought up, it is fun. It is fun. And it's funny because it's very hard to make a good film about film, right? Mm-hmm. But absolutely. When it works, it's just something special.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's time for us to wrap it up. We've been at it for a while. So
yeah. Yeah. That's great.
I'll have Noel's Instagram and web page as clickable links in the show notes, although it's just Noel David Taylor, and all three names are spelled the way you would expect, NoelDavidTaylor.com. And now I will get us out of here by saying this was the Discover Indie Film podcast, which gave birth to the Discover Indie Film TV series. So I'm just going to briefly say, hey, go to Amazon Prime Video, type in Discover Indie Film, and enjoy. There's 7 seasons up. Season 8 is coming. And it's all short films handpicked from the festival circuit. As long as you're on Prime Video, type in Man Under Table and or open a browser somewhere and go to arrow-player.com and watch Noel's film Man Under Table. And what else am I supposed to say? Okay, yeah, so discoverindiefilm.com is the website. At DIFWINS is social media for Discover Indie Film. And then, yeah, I met Noel because his film was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. So I just will mention, if you want to learn more, every November we hold the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. And you can go to ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And there is a sister festival in June every year, and that's Film Invasion Los Angeles. And you can learn about it at filminvasionla.com, and it's at filminvasionla on social media. And I have now finished sounding like an FM DJ. And we can say thank you so much. Thank you, Noel.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff. Had a wonderful time.
Me too. And thank you, everyone, for listening.